from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
You know how fast you were going?
What?
How fast you were going?
65.
63.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
You gotta understand that I don't come up with this stuff. I just forward it along. You wouldn't arrest a guy who's just delivering drugs from one guy to another.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Oh yeah, you can milk anything with nipples.
I have nipples, Greg. Could you milk me?
The Fan.
First things first, rest in peace, sucker fair.
Hey, let's do this. Second hour, Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube, as we are every single morning. Shout out to everybody watching on YouTube. Thanks for being with us. Hope your days are off to a great start. Hello.
Bring gas.
Got a lot to get to here in the second hour of the show. We will go to Miami, Florida for a Miami Hurricanes preview and the Dirty Poll coming up at the bottom of the hour. A massive year three for Mario Cristobal. He's got his quarterback. He's got his running back. Both of them coming from the Pac-2. Will that be enough to push him over the top? Is there a hot seat there? We will talk some Miami football coming up at 7:30. There was a coach in college football who also had comments about his roster and the structure of it that I found really interesting. And I think it's one of the more untalked about positives of the modern world of college football. And so I'll tell you what that coach, who the coach was, what he had to say. We'll play that audio for you and discuss it at some point in this hour as well. Of course, a Statter story coming up at 8:15. Sprague is out the rest of the week. He is camping. And so this is Swag's last show. He's flying to Hawaii tomorrow morning. And so we're all over the map, but we're here. We're grinding away on a Monday. J.J. McCarthy yesterday announced that he has to go under the knife as just brutal news because he's a guy. Look, I'm not super high on J.J. McCarthy, wasn't coming out of college. I kind of chuckled about Minnesota taking him where they took him, but he played really well in his first game. He had an early pick. Other than that, he was really solid, bounced back from it, looked good. I mean, that's all you can do in your first preseason game. And so you get this news out of it. It's a total bummer. He has a torn meniscus. Now, the question for him is, what level is the tear and how long will he be out? Because if it's a slight, you know, let's shave a little bit here, you're looking at a couple of weeks and maybe he's back sometime early in the regular season.
Yeah, he could be back in October.
Exactly. If it's a complete repair for him.
They have to, yeah.
No bueno.
If it's gonzo and they have to rebuild it or repair it or whatever, then he's
no
done
bueno.
For the season.
No bueno. That's a long time recovery. And so tough news for Minnesota. Are we ready for Sam Darnold to lead the Minnesota Vikings to the playoffs? This is his year. Everything is lined up for him. He's got weapons. He's got the offensive mind. He's got the offensive line. Sammy D, me and Colin Coward in our backwards hats, we're finally in line on a take here. Sammy Darnold's ready to take over in Minnesota. We'll see how that shakes up the NFC North race. You just never want to see somebody get injured that early on in their career, especially a guy who was probably in line to see some decent playing time this year. But we'll have to wait and see on the official results of that. I saw this yesterday, and it made me chuckle. I'm going to get to the kickoff rule here in a moment. And there are so many rabbit holes that you could go down in the world of sports that are the what-if scenarios. Lord knows, as Blazer fans, how many times do we have to live through this? What if, you know, you win a coin flip over the Houston Rockets? What if you don't? Yada, yada, yada. We don't need to relitigate all of the past.
No.
There was one that came out yesterday, and I think this came from Sports Illustrated. And I don't know how they got this scoop and who's willing to talk and who put this on the record, but I saw this out there, and I hope that I'm not getting catfished on this. But there was something that came out in SI and Pro Football Focus that said a little over a year ago, the general manager of the Raiders at the time, Dave Ziegler, had a trade in place on draft night to move up to the number two overall pick and draft C.J. Stroud. Had a deal in place, ready to go. That was nixed because head coach Josh McDaniels did not want to make that move happen, and he instead elected to sign Jimmy Garoppolo to a three-year, $72 million deal. To which I would say, why are you allowing a head coach to override a trade like that? When
especially
you're
a head coach like
Josh McDaniels, who has proven nothing as a head coach and has already, he's
one
already
thing
been fired.
If Sean McVay comes to me,
Kyle
or
Shanahan,
or Reed. Sean Payton says, yeah, yeah, hey, right. I want this guy. That's a little different. Josh McDaniels?
Can you imagine this? I mean, the Bears fans have had to live with the last, you know, basically decade now of realizing they could have drafted Patrick Mahomes and they elected not to. Instead, they took Mitchell Trubisky.
That was, well,
I mean, at the time, I don't remember that many people criticizing it because Mahomes wasn't this can't-miss prospect coming out of Texas Tech. He was good, but it wasn't like, he wasn't the second coming. He wasn't Caleb Williams or Andrew Luck or Trevor Lawrence or some of these other guys we've seen. So I don't remember that. I mean, maybe some people chuckled at it. I didn't quite understand why 1 year of starting quarterback in college was drafted in the top five. That was a bit of a head-scratcher. But this one, imagine just being a Raider fan waking up yesterday and then seeing this news of like, oh, cool. We got Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew. And the guy who people are already putting into a top five quarterback in the NFL conversation, after 1 year in the league, you had the chance to go get him. And you elected to listen to Josh McDaniels instead, who signed Jimmy Garoppolo to a three-year, $72 million deal. And that was a little over a year ago. Jimmy Garoppolo, breaking news, no longer playing for the Las Vegas Raiders. He was so bad. He is now a Los Angeles Ram. So for all the what-ifs that we have to live through in Portland, and there are many of them, this one made me chuckle yesterday when I saw that. The kickoff rule in the NFL had its full debut this weekend. First week of preseason action, all the games across the league. We have the numbers. They are in. Now, I want to see, I'm going to give you a quick test on this because you're probably more knowledgeable than the general audience on this. I want to know how many of the specific details you know about the kickoff rule. Okay, you ready?
Okay.
If the ball is kicked into the end zone on the fly or out of the back of the end zone, where does the receiving team get the ball?
The 30-yard line.
That is correct. If the ball hits in the landing zone in front of the end zone and then rolls into the end zone for a touchback, where does the receiving team get the ball?
The 25.
The 20. Close.
Oh, the 20.
The 20-yard line. And then if the ball is kicked out of bounds, where do they get it at?
I believe they still get it up at the, is it the 40?
It is the 40-yard line. Yeah. Yes. Correct. Correct you are. Well done. Okay. Well done. So you're pretty solid on this. So the NFL is trying to get more action on kickoff returns, and they don't want the ball just flying out of the back of the end zone.
But they don't want people running 40 yards and crashing into one another.
Right, at full speed. Player safety, but let's add another regular season game. Here are the results. Now, 1 week of preseason football, I'm sure all special team coordinators are trying to figure this out. And
they're trying to figure it out, but yet
works.
They're not trying to show their super cool secret play.
Let's keep it close to the vest.
Touchdown play.
Right, call the touchdown play. Here are the results. 82% of the kickoffs from the opening weekend of preseason football were returned.
Yes, so that's significantly higher than just touchbacks.
Last year, the number for the full NFL season for returned kickoffs was 22% of kickoffs were attempted to be returned.
Yes.
So you're up 60%. That is a massive increase.
That
so
number will get rolled out to you by any NFL talking suit.
Yes. There were four returns. Now, I don't know out of how many total, but there were four returns that went for more than 45 yards. So you had four chunk returns out to about midfield or close to midfield. Sure. I think one team, I can't remember who it is off the top of my head, one team had a decent return that went all the way to like the opponent's 30. So you did have one long one. So four returns of more than 45 yards. There were three super touchbacks, which is what they're calling it now when you kick the ball out of bounds. It's a super touchback that goes out to the 40-yard line. I think it used to be the 35. Maybe they moved it up 5 yards.
Yeah, see, I thought it was the 35 as well because it was a 30-yard. So if you kick off at the 35, you got it at the other 35.
Yes, and now it's a super thing. They moved it up to the 40.
Okay, fine.
So you had three of those over the weekend.
I got no problems for that. If you're a kicker out of bounds, and you have the entire field and you can't keep it in play.
I'd argue you should get it at the 50, to be honest with
50,
you. That's embarrassing. Embarrassing if you can't keep the ball
exactly.
in play. It's like shanking a drive 40 yards to the left. Like, what are you doing,
I've
bro?
I've done that. But
automatic double bogey, right? Immediately.
I don't get paid hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars to have one job.
So the controversy, though, from the weekend came from what happened in the Kansas City-Jacksonville game. And this is where I do think the NFL is going to have to, like every preseason game that I was watching, and we saw this in the Hall of Fame game when the preseason kicked off, between Chicago and Houston, where like the whole intro of the show was Joe Buck and Troy Aikman talking about the kickoff rule and trying to explain it. Here's how it's going to work. So I would imagine that's existing in all NFL locker rooms, that these guys are going over every detail of this. This is how it works. This is what you need to do. There was a safety in the Kansas City-Jacksonville game that confused the hell out of everybody, including those on the Kansas City Chiefs sideline that were like,
Wait, what happened?
What? You're giving us a safety. So here is what transpired. Jacksonville kicked the ball off to Kansas City. The ball hit in the end zone. Okay? In the end zone.
Okay, so
landed
hit
in
the
end zone. Previously, if the ball lands in the end zone, automatic touchback.
Exactly.
Wave it off. You don't even need to catch the ball if you don't want to. Just let it land. Take the ball at the 25. There you go. You start your drive. Ball hits in the end zone. And under the new rule, it doesn't matter if it lands in the end zone or not. That is a live ball.
That's the way it used to be way back in the day.
Way back in the day. So the ball lands about a yard into the end zone. It kind of hits and goes back into the field of play, to which I can't remember who it was for Kansas City, grabs the ball essentially at the 1 yard line as it kind of bounces up and goes that way, grabs it at the 1 yard line, takes it back into the end zone, takes a knee. A la, that was a safety. Not aware that A, it was a live ball, or B, if the ball landed in the end zone, it does not result in an automatic touchback. And Kansas City was somewhat livid about this of like, what, there was mass confusion, and we had our first, like, nobody really knows the specifics of some of the details.
Well, first of all, so the error was they didn't know it was a live ball.
Did not know it was a live ball.
Because had the rule always was, if you fielded the ball in play and went back into the end zone of your own accord, that's a safety.
That is a safety.
And so the rule, what they didn't know is, yes, that ball now is still live until it is handled and
or kicked out of bounds or the back of the end zone, or you catch it in the end zone and take a knee or whatever.
So that's the piece of it. If you field it in play and go into the end zone and you don't come out of the end zone, that's always been a safety. That hasn't changed. So the shock and awe over that. It's just understanding the ball now is live.
The ball is live. And you got to act accordingly
if
it lands in the end zone.
The shock and awe is maybe a little overdone. It's just good. Sure. And it's good. This is why you do things in the preseason, because the games don't count and nobody really cares.
Right.
So stop with the fake outrage, and now everybody knows. And the NFL says this is the perfect lesson. We could send out 87 different video
this is why
updates
it's a safety.
On our webpage and Instagram and whatever, but this happening and everybody losing their minds for 5 seconds, now everybody knows.
There's going to be somebody that loses a bet on something like this early in the regular season, and it's just going to be lit. Like, imagine not covering a spread because the team forgot in the moment that it's a live ball.
Well, no, this will be
zone.
Even bigger. Every single, more importantly, every single NFL player now understands what's going on.
I would hope so, but
because if you were the dude that thought it was over and you went back and gave it up, and that was the difference in a game, one, you're getting cut because you're on your special team or first. So And yeah, second, you are going to have, you know, the underbelly of social media who was cost bets because you didn't know the rule.
Yeah, I look, I maybe this is just the general fuddy-duddiness that I bring from time to time. I continue to look at this and just kind of Clint Eastwood, get off my lawn. I just, that's kind of my reaction to this. It's all a ruse about player safety when they don't give a rat's ass about player safety, and we're adding another regular season game, and it's absolute hypocrisy. But they have to do something to make the union happy, and look at this, we're trying, and we care about you. And I think
this is more about the fact that kickers have just gotten too good in the NFL.
Yeah, I just don't like putting this much importance on a play that shouldn't have this much. Like, I don't like having this much responsibility on a kicker. I just don't. It drives me nuts. I hate that they moved the PAT back, too. I'm still dying on that hill. I know it has made it more entertaining, but the idea that I'm losing a game because I now have to kick a 35-yard field goal instead of a normal PAT, that still bothers me. So this one is like icing on the cake of... we'll see. Maybe this ends up aging like you know, sour milk, and it's great, and there's all these returns, and it's exciting for the NFL.
I think a lot of teams are just dipping their toes in the water in preseason. I think the biggest thing is I think they've worked on it a ton in practice behind closed doors.
Definitely have.
And they don't want to show the weird-looking whatever that they think is going to bust one for them.
Yeah, I just don't know how much there is to do. That's the tough part when you can't move. There were a lot of procedural penalties on these, by the way, this weekend, because guys are leaving early and you can't leave until the ball's caught. And so there's that where you're just getting these random flags.
And that's the thing is, I don't know if there's something that the officials can do visually. I don't know if they can blow a whistle when it's caught to indicate to go. That's the toughest part for me.
Yeah.
Is there something that can be done on the field to alert the players, now you can move?
Because if you're on the receiving team, that's kind of an awkward thing where you're looking behind you, waiting to see when the guy catches.
And then
turn
the dude's right in front of me. I got to turn
5 yards,
around.
And he's looking directly at the play, and my back's to him. It just,
and that's really the big part, so that it is, so everybody is ready to go at the same time. Is there some indicator on the field that can be done, performed, to indicate the ball is caught and now we're going?
We'll see, man. We're going to have a full year of this. This was week one of the preseason, so they're just ironing out the details. I'm still anti this. I'm curious where other people are at. You can chime in the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. If you watched any preseason football this weekend, I watched way too much of it. What did you make of it? Was there anything there? Did you like it? Is it stupid? Are you still confused by it? Because even the Kansas City Chiefs were confused by it, and they took a safety because of it. I got some college football notes to get to, including comments from a head coach we'll dive into. We'll go to Miami coming up at the bottom of the hour for the latest on the Dirty Pole update, a preview of the Hurricanes. Back after this on 1080 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Joel says I'm going to double down on my Sam Darnold MVP bet. You bet your ass I am. Skol Vikes, baby. He's got a great offensive mind. This is the year. Remember that Bo Nix tweet that would go viral every year before the season? He's happy. He's having fun. He finally understands the offense. This might be the year. He could even could be a dark horse for the Heisman Trophy. That's me with Sam Darnold in the NFL. Justin Jefferson. Come on, a brilliant offensive mind, upgraded offensive line. This is the year, Sammy D.
Who was the running back they brought in?
Oh, God, I don't know. We forgot who was the wide receiver.
No, it was the Packers. It was Aaron Jones.
Oh, that's right, Aaron Jones.
Yeah.
I am so bad with random offseason moves like that. It's this to me is like when I watch 1 week of NFL football, I'll be the – it's what I do in baseball. Whenever the Giants play somebody, because I don't watch baseball largely outside of my team, I'm like, oh, that's where that guy is now. No. I had that earlier this year
with Kellenick. 1 week of red zone and you'll have it all dialed
I'll have it all figured out. But off the top of my head, I'm like, dude, I can't remember where the hell
anybody
went.
That's what I'm doing. I went and purchased Phil Steele's thing.
There you go. Just dive in.
I got a couple of 5.5-hour plane rides plus a lot of sitting around the pool. So I'm like, you know what?
Let's research here.
Let's just dial it all in for college football season.
One other note that I forgot, by the way, on the kickoff thing, there were comments from another coach, and that was Kyle Shanahan of the 49ers.
Ah.
And he was asked about this. I think he was on KNBR down there, and he was asked by one of the hosts, basically like, you know, we're all a little, you know, we're trying to figure this out. Are you guys trying to figure this out? What are you going to do? Blah, blah, blah. And he basically gave an answer of like, dude, we don't know. We're trial and error in this thing. And he gave an answer where he essentially said, we're leaning towards just telling our guy to boot it out of the back of the end zone every time. Give them the ball on the 30-yard line. Start your drive. I don't want to deal with this. Did we not break a wedge? Did we kick it out of bounds? Are we trying to get tricky and land it in a corner and then pin a guy down there, but it goes out of bounds? Now they get it at the 40. And he said, as of right now, I'm paraphrasing, but he basically said, we're leaning toward just kick it as far as you can. They can't return it. Give it to them on the 30-yard line, which I think would go against what the NFL is trying to accomplish.
But if you have a stacked defense and you're not necessarily worried about it, now people that don't have a stout defensive personnel in the front seven.
It's a difference of 10 yards or more if you can pin them in a corner.
If you can pin them. I'm curious if kickers will start monkeying around with their tees. I don't know what – I know there's specifications on how high and wide and whatever, but it will the technology in the tee that allows them maybe to kick it higher and shorter, more like a punt?
Yeah.
That's the other thing. It's a free kick.
Yeah.
You can punt it if you want.
You can if you got accuracy, but then you kick it out of bounds and give it to them at the 40-yard line.
So if you can just, you know, send one sky high, have it come down in the landing zone.
Yeah. You got a chance. So we'll see. It'll be interesting. This is a massive change to a pretty a play that had kind of been forgotten in the NFL with the kickoff and the way that it was trending because of all the other rules that they had already put into place. And so we'll see if this has the desired impact. But if Kyle Shanahan and other coaches are just saying, give it to him on the 30, we don't care. It will go against what they wanted to accomplish there. A couple of quick college football notes before we get to Miami coming up bottom of the hour. Always love checking in on your ex. You know, you got to see how things are going. How do they look? Are they in shape? Did they gain any weight? What's going on with Mario down at Miami? That's coming up in a moment. Tough news for Texas, as we mentioned, I think a week ago, CJ Baxter, their starting running back, was ruled out for the season with an injury. And then yesterday, out of their fall camp, their one of their other starting running backs are high on the depth chart.
Yeah,
guys.
It was a projected. It was a true freshman, but projected to be a stud. Significant time.
Christian Clark, he tore his Achilles in practice on Monday, and he will miss the entire season. And so, these are the kind of things that happen. And you go through this in the NFL every year, where there's a couple of injuries that happen, and you're kind of like, oh, that seems like a big deal, but you're not quite fully engaged yet in the season, or you're not following the day in and day out. And it's just one of those, like, just file that away. File that away, and let's see how it impacts their year. Texas has, talk about teams with massive expectations. They made the college football playoff. They broke through last year and got there. I think we can now say Texas is officially back. They had a great game against Washington, came up just short. And now they're going to the SEC, where their schedule is going to be exponentially harder than it has ever been. And they were a team that underachieved largely for the last decade in the Big 12. And even last year in winning the Big 12, you go back and look at their wins and losses, and there were a lot of games on their schedule that you're like, ooh, that could have gone either way. And that's no longer Iowa State and Ames. That's Georgia and Athens. And so if you look at Texas's schedule this year, it's not going to be a cakewalk. And they're a team that has immediately been vaulted into this conversation, kind of similar to Oregon going to their new conference, of a team that can compete for a conference championship. We look at the SEC, many do, as a Georgia-Texas race within like Alabama, Ole Miss, Missouri, maybe right there behind them. But you go do a quick dive. They go on the road to Michigan in week two in non-conference. You have to play Oklahoma, obviously, in the Red River shootout rivalry, whatever we're calling it now, the same day Oregon plays Ohio State. You do get Georgia at home. And then you have to play Florida at Arkansas and then on the road at A&M to end your season. And so you get to miss Alabama. You do get to miss Ole Miss. And you do get to miss Missouri, yeah, which will help you a little bit. But that Michigan game in non-conference is going to be brutally tough in week two. And then Oklahoma, Georgia, Texas A&M, and Florida in conference play. Just file that away. Two starting running backs down for the Longhorns. Massive expectations for them this year. And it's just some of those camp stories you just need to remember and linger. If you're like, hey, why did they lose to Oklahoma in week five or week six? What happened there? They couldn't run the football. Two starting running backs down for the Longhorns, and the season has not even kicked off yet. Let's stick in college football. We'll go down to Miami. The Dirty Poll continues. We're double dipping today. So we're going to go to Kansas State coming up top of the hour. They are technically next in line at number 18, but the way the guests worked out, Miami could go at 7:30. So number 17, Miami. Massive expectations for Mario Cristobal. That is coming up next on the Daily Ticker.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit with the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is poured by Pelican Brewing. Be ready for your next afternoon vacation with Beak Breaker Tropical. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
All right, Daily Ticker time here on a Wednesday. Brought to you as always by Pelican Brewing. Visit PelicanBrewing.com for more details on locations, events, award-winning beers, independently brewed since 1996. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach. The Dirty Pour rolls on as we continue to preview college football. We get to number 17 in our preseason poll. That is the Miami Hurricanes as we check in on our old friend Mario Cristobal. In year three down at Miami, joining us now is Gary Furman of Kane Sport, the on-three site down there covering the Hurricanes. Gary, good morning to you, man. Thanks so much for the time all the way out here in Portland. I always ask, as we preview these different teams, you know, kind of ranking them on our side going into the season, number 17 for Miami, does that seem fair to you? Too high, too low? Where are you at on Miami going into this year?
I mean, it's fair because, they are aiming to be better than that. They think they're going to be better than that, but they have to prove that they're better than that. Why would anybody else on the outside believe it until they see it? So I think it's very fair. We're going to know a lot right from the get-go.
Right,
a big game August 31st at Florida. You know, it's a huge in-state rivalry. But the thing is, like, they got 41 new players on the team. You know, these guys have never been to battle with each other. There's going to be a transition to all of that, you know. And even though they're probably in a much better place than Florida, like, I don't think that guarantees anything on August 31st when the actual game gets kicked off, because you have to factor in so many different intangibles and elements to this. But Miami should be a much improved team this year. They have set the sky as the limit, and we're going to see how that plays out.
Well, you mentioned that opening game. Just a massive one to kick off the year for Miami on the road against Florida. One of the best games, I would argue, of week one. When you look at Mario and what he's done in his first 2 years, it's an interesting thing to react to and kind of break down, because we knew Miami football was not in a very good spot. But I think anytime a program hires a new coach, you're expected to come in and kind of have a magic wand and wave it and look at this. Everything is fixed and improved. They did go from 5 wins to 7 wins from year one to year two. Is it crazy to think that there's a ton of pressure on him on August 31st and that the reaction will not be good if they lose that game in Florida? Just where are people at on him going into year three?
There's a ton of pressure on the program, not necessarily on Mario Cristobal himself, but, you know, I think that the people who know at Miami, the people in power at Miami, understand where this program was when he arrived here a little over 2 years ago, and the degree of work that has been required to even get it back to this point where you're going into year three of Mario's time with a lot of hope. I mean, they think they can win the ACC this year. So it's a little bit similar to the trajectory that he had at Oregon. And, you know, he made the decision to leave Oregon after he had built it. And, you know, you see that, you know, to this point, it's been relatively sustained. I don't know that any championships have been won yet or anything, but, you know, Oregon's considered a consensus top 5 or 10 team going into this season. It's a program that's in a very good place. Miami's trying to get there, and, you know, they feel they are making that kind of progress. I think if you ask Mario to compare the team that he's going into the season with in a couple weeks with what he left behind at Oregon, I think he would, might tell you it's pretty comparable now. Mm-hmm. You know, they've really done a very good job. But none of that means anything if you don't show it on the field. And there's pressure on the program. I mean, this is a show-me season for the program. But people that are trying to say Mario's on any kind of hot seat or anything just honestly don't have a clue what they're talking about.
Right, right. Well, it's interesting. So Oregon fan is obviously, you're always curious how your ex is doing, right? You're always keeping tabs on them, see how things are going. And so Oregon fans are keenly aware of everything that's happened with Miami the last 2 years. But also now you tie in, Gary, that we're talking about Gary Furman, canesport.com, that you have two other fan bases in the Northwest that are watching closely what Miami's doing, because you have a starting running back from Oregon State, Damian Martinez, who is a fan favorite, just a hero in Corvallis for what he did over the last 2 years. Now the starting running back for the Hurricanes, and Cam Ward, who was one of the bright spots of Washington State football and made them a really competitive team and tough to beat because he's an incredibly talented quarterback. And so you've added these two other guys from the Pac-12, or now Pac-2, I should say, to be your quarterback and running back. What are we seeing from those two guys down there in fall camp, and how are they fitting in?
Oh, I mean, everything you would expect. I mean, I'll start with Cam Ward. I mean, just a phenomenal leader. His leadership is really, to me, equally significant, if not more significant, than his physical talent on the football field. He has just come and been a magnet for all the guys in the program, and they look up to him, they believe in him, and he has inspired a very happy atmosphere of hope going into the season. There's no doubt about it. Damian Martinez is just like a prototypical Miami type of player, and a prototypical Mario Cristobal type of player. He's tough. He shows up every day, and you know, he's proven, and he's very motivated, obviously, but he's trying to go to the National Football League. So, there's no reason to expect anything but a great year from him. I mean, at one practice, he took the first play and went the distance, you know. He's built for a very good season this year. He just has to stay healthy.
Yeah, and we'll see if he can do that. He was incredibly durable in his time at Oregon State. I'll get you out on this one, Gary. I'm just curious, you know, I kind of close this up with all of our guests as we preview the season. You mentioned the expectations to win an ACC championship or compete for an ACC title. I'm just curious, if you set the barometer of what does a successful season look like, of one, you get to the end of it, you say, you know what, that was a good year for Miami, and then what is a failure of a season like? What are those two breaking points for Mario in year three, and how does that look for a success or a failure?
Well, Vegas has set the line at 9.5, and I think that's very fair. You know, I think anything less than 10 is, you know, not a great season, and I don't think anybody in the program would disagree with that. The schedule lines up very favorably. The ACC, you've got FSU and Clemson, which are a couple teams that are getting a lot of preseason hype. I personally am not sure that when reality hits that they're really going to be as good as people think they are. I think people are kind of going on reputation and name there with those schools. There's teams, Miami, I think SMU is going to be a tough team this year. Notre Dame is not competing for the ACC title, but Notre Dame plays several ACC schools in mm-hmm. its schedule. They're going to be a factor in everything, just in terms of people's one-loss records. And I think if Miami just continues to improve from the get-go and takes care of business, that they'll be okay. But I think Vegas has the bar in the exact proper place where it should be.
Yeah, great stuff. Gary Furman with a preview on the number 17 team in our preseason poll, Kane Sport, at Kane Sport on Twitter, covering Miami, the On3 affiliate down there in Miami. Gary, thanks so much for the time out here, the update on Miami, and look forward to the season getting underway. We really appreciate it.
Anytime, guys. Take care.
There you go. Gary Furman with a preview of Miami football. Big expectations from Mario Cristobal in year three. And, seeing the Vancouver Four text line. I'd love getting people riled up around college football. There is nothing that I enjoy more. There is this idea, and I love, because every fan base has to cope in different ways with their current situation or try and rationalize, positive nature towards a certain individual. And I've seen this a lot from Miami fan of trying to proclaim, look how sustainably built Oregon is. Mario did all of that. And because he did that, he's going to do it here. And I hear that quite often on social media from Miami fan, when the reality is, Mario did a lot here. He was a good recruiter. Yeah. He won a Rose Bowl. He accomplished a lot during his time at Oregon. The idea that he was the one that built Oregon up for sustainable success is just, he was a piece of the puzzle. You got a long puzzle, you put his piece in there. He was a piece of it. But this idea that he's the one that built this, it's just a little bit laughable. And it's also hilarious to me that, and I loved bringing this up a year ago, and I think it's one of the strongest arguments for Dan Lanning as a head coach, and that is that by the second year in the program, it was specifically his team. Like he had basically cleared out about 80% of the roster. I think it was something along the lines of like 80 to 20%. 80% was new guys that Lanning had brought in. 20% were guys that were holdovers from when Mario Cristobal was here. That was going into his second year at Oregon. And so there's this idea out there that he's just, and from Miami fan mainly, that he was just winning in his first 2 years with Mario Cristobal players. And it couldn't be further from the truth. There are guys who are making a big impact, undoubtedly, that Mario Cristobal brought in. There's still a few of them left on this roster. But I love going to Miami and hearing that stuff. And talk about expectations. He's right that this won't turn into a hot seat conversation, because I don't think Miami has the money to fire him if he falls on his face again. Their primary booster, who's paying all the recruits, is in all sorts of legal trouble. Like, they got stuff going on behind the scenes there that they got to figure out. But talk about if you lose to Florida in the first week of the season on the road in that in-state rivalry, when all of this has been built for year three, and you have your quarterback and you have your running back and you spend all this money on your roster, you lose your opener to Florida. Oh, buddy, those, talk about an empty stadium, which Miami basically already plays in to begin with. There is going to be nobody there the next week when Florida A&M is in town. But there you go. There's your preview of number 17, Miami. It's always good checking in on your ex, right? Just brings up good feeling. Doesn't it? Good, happy, rosy memories. Daily Ticker is always brought to you by Pelican Brewing. Visit PelicanBrewing.com for more details on locations, events, award-winning beers, independently brewed since 1996. Pelican Brewing, born to the beach. One coach in college football with comments that I think highlight the strength of the sport right now. We'll get to that coming up next on 1080 The Fan.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Sprague crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure?
Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole. Eastmoreland.
Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness, with memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you as always by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver, online at crunch.com. The Dirty Pool will continue coming up top of the hour. I don't think it will be as contentious and aggressive with Kansas State. Who has anything bad to say about Kansas State? Kansas. Other than Isaac Ropp?
Yeah.
Is anybody like, who doesn't like Kansas State?
Ropp is adamant that...
Now, maybe, who does he hate more, Missouri? Because Missouri and Kansas was a massive rivalry as well.
He hates Missouri more. but he's adamant that Manhattan might be the worst place in the United States.
Yeah, that's too aggressive. I've been to Manhattan, Kansas, and it's not that, I mean, it's, I don't know if I could go to school there.
It's isolated.
It's very isolated.
Like, if you were going in, like, if Oregon State played Kansas State for a football game.
That would be such a fun game to go to.
You would go and have a great weekend.
I would love that non-conference
game. But if the Kansas State play-by-play job came open for some reason and I was sitting there contemplating.
Could you not? Like, you couldn't live in Manhattan if that job opened up?
I don't know. They'd have, well, you know.
What are we throwing at you? What are we offering? Huh?
There'd have to be some extra convincing going on because, and especially, yeah, I can just imagine how cold and nasty winters are.
Winters are brutal, yeah.
There will be, I will tell you this, I would be going by myself.
Yeah, the miss is not following
like,
on that.
I don't even have to have that conversation.
Yeah, that's an immediate no for me.
That's okay, I hope it's worth it.
There is something special and unique, and I'm wondering if this can be like a kumbaya moment for all of us and our listening audience today.
Oh, okay.
It is very rare that you get a specific topic, a specific person, or a specific school that will bring the people together in being negative and rooting against them.
Oh, this is a hate watch.
I think kumbaya. Mario Cristobal's doing this. As I'm just going to read back-to-back text to you with the Vancouver Ford text line. First off, Jordan did chime in, and I enjoyed this one. After he said it, I double-checked. Gary was right. Oregon, indeed, has not won a national championship since Mario left. So fact-check. Correct there, Gary. Thank you for that clarification. We have not won a title since he left. Appreciate that.
Okay.
Back-to-back text. One says, Damian Martinez is the ultimate offensive line merchant, and he will be a dud at Miami. So Beaver fan has chimed in. And sharing their thoughts.
Yeah, go
and literally the next text, 2 minutes later, says, God, I can't wait to watch Mario screw this up again. The storylines in this sport are unmatched. And I'm assuming that is from an Oregon fan. If you're doing the screw up angle, I'm Mario fail. I'm
Has
assuming.
Has Cook fan chimed in yet? Where's Cook fan at? Cam Ward throw four picks in his debut.
Yeah, how does Cook fan feel about Cam Ward? Is that a supportive? Are you rooting for Cam Ward? Do you like Cam Ward? Do you understand? I mean, I'm assuming you understand why he made the move. That's a pretty big bag that he got thrown at him, but that's easier said than done.
It's hard to when the players were forced to have to decide to jump into the transfer portal or not, and not knowing what the hell was going on individually. I don't blame any one of them individually. It's hard to make the best decision because there was still so much up in the air.
And you're supporting your family, and there's so many people that are relying on you. And if somebody offers you
$1 million, oh my goodness, I came from wherever I came from, and I'm here. And
2 years ago, he was an incarnate word.
Yeah.
Now he's a starting quarterback in Miami, probably getting seven figures to
do
so.
Am I the only one from here that's been on that campus?
I've never been to Miami.
No, Incarnate
Word. Oh, Incarnate Word. Yes, I believe you are. Okay. It's in the middle of nowhere in Texas, am I right?
No, it's in San Antonio.
San Antonio, okay.
Yeah.
So
it's not in the middle of nowhere. It's in San Antonio.
I've never been. I've never been to San Antonio or Incarnate Word. Never checked those boxes. So yeah, we need Cougar fan to chime in here. Does Husky fan have any reason to hate Mario too? Can we get a total Northwest coalition
Miami,
going?
Husky fan hates Miami on principle because didn't they share that?
I think
national
that was the 19. Yeah,
and,
when they didn't actually
Husky
play each
fan
other.
Fan will actually say, "Well, Miami, that was just reputation.
That's why
we
they
earned
got it."
Yeah. If you talk to Husky fan,
sure, of course, yeah.
So I think they hate Miami on principle. I think it was the Huskies that went down there the next season or
next
shortly
season
thereafter.
Yeah, I think it was
and
the next
ended
year.
Their super long home winning streak,
yes, and then tried to say that was the title game, even
said,
though they
we
were
told
different teams and
should have been ours, dumb East Coast bias voters.
There of all the storylines in college football this year, there are a lot of really good ones. I am such a college football nut, it's not even funny. I have a problem and I have a sickness. Mario Cristobal and what he does in year three at Miami is near the top of my list. I think Dabo, and we talked about Clemson yesterday, just going the way of the dough. Is he always going to be against the transfer portal? Do they lose? Do they not win the ACC this year? That's a relatively large one for me, but Miami, just circling that game on August 31st against Florida and imagining the temperature that gets kicked up if they lose. If they win that game, it's a great start, and their schedule is an absolute cakewalk this year. If they get through Florida, the rest of their non-conference is Florida A&M and Ball State in South Florida. That's the rest of their non-conference. God, so 4-0, they're not playing anybody.
They only play the ACC. Only plays 8 conference games.
Only plays 8 conference games.
ACC and SEC's got to get off that bandwagon.
As he mentioned, Notre Dame is a pseudo-ACC member who plays like 6 ACC games a year. You don't play Notre Dame. Clemson is the other team that's near the top of the conference. They don't play Clemson. They get Florida State, who I think is going to regress slightly. They get them at home at the end of October, so you don't have to go to Tallahassee. You get them at home. The schedule is that there is no excuse for
DJ
them.
DJ and Cam Ward playing.
No excuse.
How's the Oregon State?
I know. It's an Oregon State-Washington State game, man. It's the Pac-2 quarterback battle right there. I think Oregon State's okay with DJ being gone. I think that one felt a little bit different than Cam Ward. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but
we'll see what happens.
See if he wins and if he goes on a run at Florida State, you might feel slightly different.
No, we'll see what happens with Gulbranson and whoever else.
McCoy's the guy. Come on, Javonte McCoy is going to be the starter.
Okay,
so there. I got a little sidetracked there. Seeing the hate flow, I'm a hate watcher. I love hate watching.
I think at least in this corner of the country, there is collective hate.
Yes,
and
my dream scenario is that Oregon gets in a position to play in the college football playoff. Let's say they lose to Ohio State. I don't want them to lose that game.
They're the 5th seed and Miami's the 5th seed.
Miami's the 12th seed. They don't win the ACC and Mario's got to come back to Autzen in
January. That would require a Boise State or somebody else to.
That's true. I'll give you 6-11. Give me 6-11. I won't give it. No, I don't need 5-12. Give me 6-11 and I want his ass back in Autzen Stadium.
And he has to go back to
Autzen. That's what I want.
Just get pummeled.
That is my dream. And there is something special about it.
A driving rainstorm.
I will tell you this as you know, Husky fan went through this. They're probably more supportive of Kalen DeBoer because of, you know, it was 2 years of bliss and then he left. And I think he'd get it because it's Bama. Oregon State fan went through it this past offseason. Jonathan Smith bolts. He goes to Michigan State. There is a special level of fun of watching your ex lose a big. I will never forget Willie Taggart losing his first game at Florida State. And they're swag surfing on the sideline after he was here for 1 year and just cackling my fat ass off on my couch. Oh, my God. I loved every second of it. So welcome to the Hate Watch, everybody. Down goes Miami. Let's root against them together. Collectively, people joining with other people. It's a powerful thing. Lots to get to in the final hour of the show. We'll continue on the Dirty Pool. We're double dipping today. We're double dipping again on Friday. We got to jam some of these teams. And Kansas State is coming up next. Big expectations for them. New starting quarterback. How are they feeling in Manhattan? We'll get to Statter's story. I haven't gotten to my comments from a college football coach about the landscape of the sport that I think is great. All of that still to come. Loaded final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.